to us deeply through it and show us things about you and about ourselves, about our relationship with you, about who you are, and especially today, Lord, about your Holy Spirit, your power that you have imparted into our life to be able to lead us, to guide us, and take us on this beautiful path that we're on. Lord, we're loving you this morning. We praise you and we give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name we say, amen. 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 So, some of you have heard in the Bible there's actually controversy about a topic called the Trinity. Okay, it's not necessarily a controversy in the Bible, but in the body of Christ, some people don't believe in a Trinity, a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There are Jesus-only churches that are more focused on just Jesus and not the Holy Spirit and God and not separating them out, or thinking that they are what I call a triune God, three in one. Okay, now, has everybody heard of a three-in-one, a trinity, a unit, you know, three-in-one? Okay, in the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, God said to Jesus and the Holy Spirit who were there with him, the Lord said, let us make man in our image, right? God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And so I believe even back in the very beginning, the creation of man and the world and all that 6 days, okay, then way back in the beginning, there was a triune God that was in place, that God is speaking to Jesus and Holy, saying, let's make man in our image, okay, in our very likeness, okay? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are three in one, okay? And I want to give you an example of something relating to the natural world that hopefully you can put this together. I am a father. Okay, I have two sons. Praise God. Praying for them today. They're not here this morning. I have two sons. I am a father. I am a son. And I'm also a husband. Okay, I have three roles. Okay, and I'll call them three different hats that I wear. Okay, because they're all a little bit different. They're all very important roles. Okay, each one of them are distinct. Okay, they have a separate kind of a thing that you'll be responsible for. They're all unique in that sense. Every one of them is as valuable and is as important as the other two, but they all have a little different responsibility, a little different role that I or whoever would be in that particular role. I'll give you an example. When I have my father hat on, okay, I am serving as the head of the household. Okay, I have the overall responsibilities for the administration and the direction of my family unit. Okay, now in our household, that's the way we live it out, that, you know, the buck stops with me. I'm the final authority on decisions that are made and those kind of things. Our society has distorted that role of the father, and especially if you're into TV and over the years, and before I got saved, I used to watch TV shows like The Simpsons. Anybody remember Homer Simpson? Okay, he kind of reminds me of that. You know, they kind of made him out to be a doofus, right? Or who was the guy? Al Bundy with Married with Children. You remember? You know, guys that kind of, you know, set that stage that, you know, avoiding responsibility, avoiding any work, avoiding, you know, the responsibilities of life and avoiding success at all costs. Those are the kind of guys that sometimes our society has put out there that this is the father's role. Okay, but I think the original intention of the role of the father was one more like where the buck stops here. Okay, it's where that father is the one that is going to be the decision maker, the final decision. You gather information, you get it all together, but when it comes down to it, that responsibility for the success or failure of that major decision is going to fall on me. I take the blame for it. You know, if we don't have things in our family, I really put that and carry that weight on my shoulders. I believe that's the way that God wanted it. I'm thinking more of the roles like, you remember Ward Cleaver from Leave It to Beaver? Okay, he was the one that, oh, you just wait till your father gets home, right? Because he was the final authority. He was the disciplinarian. He was the administrator. You know, they're looking at buying a house or whatever it was. It's like, well, Ward, the final decision is yours. You know, are we going to do this or not? And they would put that on him, and I think rightfully so. Okay, other guys like, you remember John Walton from the Waltons, right? Okay, John was not an avid churchgoer guy, but he led with responsibility. He was a hardworking man, and I remember the way that he would go and do whatever it took to provide for his family. He carried that role of the father very, very strongly, that when, you know, they worked in a sawmill or whatever, and as wood was not being used and people weren't able to buy it, he had to go to work. He traveled to Charlottesville or wherever it was in that show and did what he needed to do, because he knew that he was ultimately responsible for whether or not they had an income and money in that family. That was the father's role. It's a distinct role. It's something that as a father, and I think only a father would know what it means and feels like to be a father in that sense. Okay, another hat. If you put on, and let's say I put on my son hat. Okay, I'm a son. My father's Richard Gilbert. Now he's in North Dakota. They mostly farmed in South Dakota. Now they're up in North, kind of retired, semi-retired. If I put on my son hat, now I have a responsibility to be an ambassador and to be a representative of my father. Okay, I want to carry on the family name with some honor. Okay, I don't want to bring shame to the name, so to speak. I want to honor my family, my mother, my father, and be a good steward of what they have bestowed upon me. Now, we've often taught our sons, Elijah and Isaac, we teach them things about being a good sport, you know, being a good team player. Okay, they're both into baseball and football and that kind of stuff. So if they're on that baseball team, we say, you are a representative of not only Jesus Christ. Okay, we always have that underlined. We are a representative of Christ. But we tell them that you're also a representative and a direct representation of our family. Okay, this is the Gilbert family. They know that you have Gilbert across the back of your jersey. And so it is something that comes upon the entire family. Okay. When a son or a daughter lives in or acts dishonorably, okay, it tarnishes not only their own reputation, but the disgrace is often felt by the entire family, especially those who are responsible for training them up and raising them. Okay, now I say this, that it's not always their fault. Okay. My parents did, I thought, a pretty good job, and I can look back and think they did quite well at raising me, but I strayed into rebellion and got pretty far off before the Lord got a hold of me. Let's look at a scripture, Proverbs 10, chapter 1. Some of the Proverbs of Solomon, it says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Okay, how true is that? If you're a parent, you know exactly what that means and how that weighs on the parent. Even if it's not necessarily their fault, they feel and they will feel the shame of a wayward child. Okay, they do. There's a connection there for the son related to their mother and their father. Okay, but the same is true on the other side, that the son, if I have my son hat on, I can also bring a great sense of satisfaction and honor unto my family. Okay, when I live in a good way, a way that sets a good example for others to follow, if I live my life in a way that exemplifies the family name and that it is worthy of that name. Okay, so that you can live on the good side of that too and bring satisfaction, bring pleasure and joy to a parent by living on that other side, living on the right way. Okay, that son's role is a little bit different than the role of a father. He doesn't have that same overall responsibility for the entire family, and yet the way that he lives is setting that example, and it still affects the whole family. And now if I put on a different hat, and I'll call it my husband hat. Okay, when I put on my husband hat, I have now committed to a lifelong, ongoing relationship in which my obligation for favor and for focus shifts towards my wife. Okay, I still have the other hats on. Okay, I'm still honor my mother and my father. I still set the example and the direction for my sons, but my immediate responsibility involves providing for and taking care of and protecting and even pleasing my wife. Okay, now I don't know how you guys live it out. We have a list of, it's written in our heart, kind of list of priorities in our life, that God comes first. Okay, and I usually say it's God, family, church, work. Okay, and in that God, family, in that family, we have a little priority list in there too. My priority in family is my wife first and then my children. okay? Because I believe that God implied that we should do that, that God, and the boys don't necessarily like it, but they understand this, that my focus, my attention, my time, my responsibility goes to Margie before it goes to the boys. Okay, and they kind of understand that. You know, Margie came first. You know, you're a byproduct of Margie first, right? And so they kind of understand that, that yes, and they see that mom needs to know that. Mom needs to be lifted up and focused on. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31 says that for this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. Okay, at that point, his wife becomes his priority. Okay, two became one flesh. A purposeful and intentional decision was made to permanently and intimately join himself to his wife. Okay, now think of these different roles that I'm talking about. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, the Father, the Son, and the Husband. Okay. Relate this to our triune God. Our Father God is the chief administrator. Okay? He's the buck stops here guy. Right? He's the one that outlines the overall direction of your life. He's the one that carries all the authority. He's the one that is ultimately responsible for the outcome of his family, okay, of which you and I are a part of. The Son, Jesus, came to set the example. Okay, to live out his life in a way that showed us the Father's way. Okay, he lived in a way that was pleasing to his Father and honorable unto his Father. Okay, Mark chapter 1, verse 11. Just a reminder, after Jesus was baptized, he comes out of the water, the Holy Spirit descends on him, and then there comes a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Okay, got his endorsement from the Father. Okay, and you should always desire that as a, in the natural, an endorsement from your father and mother. Okay, it's scriptural. Jesus lived the life that God desired for him, and he set this example for us of who the Father is. Okay, Luke chapter 10, verse 22 says that all things are delivered me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and to he to whom the Son will reveal him. Okay, so Jesus is the one who reveals to us who God is. We are to look at him and to know him and to understand his ways, the way he lived and what he did and didn't do, things he said and how he responded, and we have a picture of who God really is. Okay, Jesus came to live that perfect and true example of who God is. God is love, right? And Jesus lived in a way that even though he had to correct, even though he had to stand up for what was right, even though he did all these things, he still lived in a way that exemplified love as his Father was. John chapter 1, verse 18 says that no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him to us. Jesus declared who the Father is. His life story told the story of God. Okay, that word declared, where it says he hath declared him, that word declared in the Greek literally means to rehearse out loud. Okay, he rehearsed out loud. He set the perfect image and representation of his Father and lived it out in a way so that we could see it and hear it and know that this is who God is. Okay, the third part of that Trinity is the Holy Spirit. Okay, he is like that role of the husband. Okay, and here's where we get to the meat of what I wanted to share this morning on the Spirit of God. Okay, he is like that role of the husband. The Holy Spirit is who Jesus said and then said that he would send to us. Okay, the Holy Spirit is purposefully and intentionally committed to you. Okay, to cherish you, to take care of you, to help provide for you, to be there as in all the ways that a loving spouse might be. He is 100% focused on you first. You are his top priority. You are the center of his world. okay, the center of his attention. He is ultimately joined together with you so that you two became one. Okay, just like a man will leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. The Holy Spirit, in such a way, God imparted him into us that we became one with the Holy Spirit so that we have him to live out this life that we now live. He was given to you by the Lord for a divine purpose, a powerful purpose. Okay, Jesus said in John 14, verse 16, Jesus said, I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Look at the C. It's capital C. He's talking about the comforter, Holy Spirit. Okay, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit, capital Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you. And Jesus said, before he came, and he shall be in you. Okay, he was going to send him to live inside of us. Now that word comforter, it literally means that he is your advocate. Okay, he is your intercessor, interceding on your behalf with the Father. Okay, he is your counselor to give you the exact direction and advice that you need. Okay, he is, as much as anything else, he is your strengthener to give you a supernatural strength that goes above and beyond human willpower. Because you can't do it on your own. You can't muster up enough, I'll get it done, to get it done. I'm just telling you, you can't do it. You've got to have the Holy Spirit's power empowering you. Okay? Now, I know some of you have heard this scripture a lot here lately, but in Acts chapter 1, it talks about, you know, to go and wait until you be endued with power from on high. Okay? And that's that power that he was giving you to be able to walk out this life that you need to live in. I don't know about you guys, but my wife is a lot of those things to me. My spouse, she is my comforter. Okay, she is the one that if I'm going through, if she says the boys are the biggest babies in the house, but you know, when me included. Okay, but you when you're going through stuff, you want that person that you're closest to. You want your comforter there. Okay, she's that one that can give that advice, or you know, when you're going through the tough times, you want somebody to kind of bounce things off of. You want to have that sort of a relationship. Okay, there's nobody that we really want right there to encourage us and to comfort us more than our spouse. Okay, well, the Holy Spirit never leaves your side. He is always there inside of you. He is with you and he is for you. And his strength goes above and beyond even that of our spouse. Okay, he has a connection with God, a direct insight to the things of God that not even our spouse could have. I mean, they have access to the same Holy Spirit. They can know the things of God. Okay, but the Holy Spirit himself is perfect in tune with God. Okay, I want to read to you a passage out of 2 Corinthians, out of the Amplified Bible. And it just kind of puts it in a language here I think we can understand. It says, but just as it is written in the Scripture, things which the eye has not seen and the ear has not heard, and which have not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those that love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, who obey him, and who gratefully recognize the benefits that he has bestowed. For God has unveiled them and revealed them to us through the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit, capital S, searches all things diligently, even sounding and measuring the profound depths of God, the divine counsels, and the things far beyond human understanding. For what person knows the thoughts and motives of a man except the man's spirit within him? So also no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but we receive the Holy Spirit who is from God, so that we may know and understand the wonderful things that are freely given to us by God. We have the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to give him to you. If you've received, I've received. And so we have him in our life so that we can know the things that are freely given to us by God. That's how I know how much God loves me. That's how I know that I'm forgiven of all my sin. That's how I know I'm on my way to heaven and not to hell. That's how. It's through the Holy Spirit. We need Him to know the ways of God. And we have Him so that we can know the ways of God. Okay? He is our best counselor. He is the one that knows intimately, perfectly, in tune with God, and we have Him inside of us. So not only does He give us counsel, but He gives us direction, and then He gives us a strength, a power to go in that direction so that we can fulfill the things that God wants us to do. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. He said, "This I say then, to walk in the capital Spirit, okay, in the Holy Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Okay, kind of on the other side, the unregenerate man has no choice but to live according to the flesh. They're not born of the Spirit. They live and walk in the things of the natural human flesh. Okay, they are under the condemnation of God. They're living under the law. Okay, and the scriptures are real clear on that. Paul goes on to point out that what some of these lusts of the flesh are. Okay, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Right? Paul goes on to point out what some of those lusts are in a couple verses later, Galatians 5:19. He says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, things like adultery and fornication and uncleanness, lasciviousness, which is a total irresponsibility, a lack of self-control, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred and strife, emulations or jealousy, wrath, strife or disputes, seditions and dissensions and heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and all of the such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." This is what we're up against, right? This is what we're up against. This is what the natural flesh will want to do, will engage in freely without some restraint. Okay, we are not left, however, to deal with these things on our own. We are not left to have willpower to overcome these things. We are not left to have our own strength and our own wisdom even in our minds to be able to rationalize how to work it out so that we don't do this stuff. Okay, Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Said, "Likewise, the Spirit," capital S, "also helps our infirmities or our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, and searches the hearts, knowing what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for you, for the saints, according to the will of God." Perfect intercession. That's what Holy does on your behalf. Perfect intercession. Okay, Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. He said, "If we live in the Spirit, then let us also walk in the Spirit." Right? Because if we walk in the Spirit, then we're not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. Okay? Romans 8, verse 11 and verse 13, it says, "If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you." Verse 13 says, "For if you live after the flesh, then you shall die. But if you through the capital Spirit, the Holy Spirit, do mortify or put to death the deeds of the body, then you shall live according to the ways of God." 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, and again verse 19, it says, "But he that is joined unto the Lord is one Spirit." Okay, remember the marriage? "He that leaveth his mother and father and cleaveth unto his wife shall be one flesh." Okay, he that is joined unto the Lord, he that is received of Christ, has become one with the Holy Spirit. Okay, he is joined unto you in a way that cannot be separated. Verse 19 there said, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? You've been bought with a price, imparted with the Holy Spirit, so that you could be that temple for Him." He's joined unto you in a way that cannot be separated. Okay? He has made his habitation in you. He has moved in and he's not moving out. Okay? Just like though in the marital relationship, there is a constant and a continual yielding to one another. Okay, think about a relationship. If it's really functioning and flowing together, there'll be a yielding between each other. It's not always my way or the highway. It's not always you're right, honey, you're right, honey, you're right, honey, because you'll get tired of saying that after a while. It'll begin to get to you and you'll be like, wait a minute, this isn't right. Okay? There's always that yielding. I'll call it a submission to one another within that relationship. Okay, where we yield to each other and we say, you know what, I really don't want to eat at Cappy's today, but Margie does, I'll eat at Cappy's today. Right? You know what I mean? You yield to stuff all the time. For what purpose? Because you don't want to clash with each other constantly. You learn to get along. You learn to walk in a relationship where you can be with one another and help one another, and you're functioning and flowing together. I call it keeping peace in the domicile. Okay? It's the way that you do it. You yield once in a while. You don't always have to have your way. Okay? You can say, you know what, whatever. You know, if you want to do that, that's fine. Okay? It means different when the woman says whatever than when the guy says whatever. I'll just tell you. But guys mostly have learned that by now. Okay?
Amen.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Amen, sister. Amen. It would be pretty silly in a relationship to deny your spouse, to not give them any part in a relationship. That it's always you, always your way, what I say is the only way, this is the way it's going to be done. It would be pretty silly to do that. So even in the husband role or that father role, however it may be, there's going to be that yielding. Okay, I'm talking in particular about the husband-wife relationship, but that Holy Spirit-you relationship. There has to be some give and take. There has to be some allowing, some yielding to one another. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit's going to yield if you want to go off and do nasty stuff, but doesn't he? Doesn't he allow you to do that? But it has to go the other way. That when the Holy Spirit is leading you to do something, that we're willing to go that way. So that give and that take goes both ways. Okay, that spouse in our natural relationship is our sounding board. That's who we bounce our hopes off of. That's who we share the things that we have on our heart. That's who we share our hurts with. Ever been hurt emotionally? Yeah, who do you go to? Hopefully it's your spouse, okay, and not your friends or whoever. You should be going to your spouse. We bounce ideas off each other. We engage in a constant conversation with them. Okay, in the case of the Holy Spirit, he should be your sounding board. Okay? He has a direct and open communication line with the Almighty God. Okay? And he is there to intercede with God on your behalf. I think it's worth sharing stuff with him. Okay? Including him in decisions and allowing him to lead and guide you. Okay? It's through your relationship with the Holy Spirit that you're going to know how to live. You're going to know how to keep yourself from coming under the power and control of the ways of the world. Okay? You are that temple of the Holy Spirit. That means that whenever and whatever you need, he is right there with you, right there for you. Jesus told us that this Holy Spirit that he gave unto us would be critical in the last days. Okay, in the times when things get tough, when Christians start being persecuted more than ever, it's so subtle right now, it's unbelievable, but it's really happening. It has been unleashed on our country, on the Christian people. Okay, and during this time, Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 16, he gave us an example of why we would need the Holy Spirit. He says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak, for it is not you that speaks, but the Holy Spirit of your Father, which speaks through you." Okay? There are times, and I kid you not, that you can be praying and you don't even know where, why you would want to be praying this. You're praying and it's coming out is exactly what Holy wanted to be saying. Okay, He is working right through you to intercede on somebody's behalf or to pray that prayer that will set someone free or open a door or do what needs to be done. When you don't know what to speak, the Holy Spirit does. Okay, this is why we speak and why we pray in the Holy Ghost. Okay, after describing in the Bible how the wicked will live in the last days, Jude came up with this, and he describes how we as the Spirit-filled believers will live. In Jude 1:20, he said, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." We will keep ourselves in the love of God. We will keep ourselves from living according to the way of the world by praying in the Holy Spirit. Okay, the Spirit of God is the one that will give you the right utterance, will put things within you to pray and to go in the right direction. Okay, the Holy Spirit of God is the one that will put you in the right place at the right time. Okay, so that you can fulfill the will of God. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 25. He said, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death." He wasn't going to die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. "And he came by the Spirit's prompting into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms, and he blessed God, and he said, 'Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation.'" The Holy Spirit put him in the right place at the right time for a divine appointment with the Christ, whom God had told him he would see and have an experience before he would depart. Okay, Luke chapter 4, verse 1, you remember Jesus. After he being full of the Holy Ghost, he returned from Jordan and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Okay, being led by the Spirit was a divine example of the Christ. He set that example and said, "This is the way that we are to live." He was led by the Spirit, and we need to be led by the Spirit as well. Okay, I want to encourage you this morning to engage in the fullness of the triune God. Okay, to allow God to be your chief administrator. Okay, to be Him, that He's the buck stops here guy. He's the one that is ultimately responsible. He breathed the life into you. He is responsible for you. Okay, He is the Father God. Turn your whole life over to Him. Let Him be the one who is responsible, the one who literally told you to cast all your cares upon Him simply because He cares for you. He's okay carrying the burden of your life. The Son has set that example for you. He has revealed God to you to show you who the Father is, literally rehearsing out loud who God is, the express image of God for us to have as an example to follow. And the Holy Spirit, He is joined unto you. Two became one, where He came to live and dwell inside of you so that you will never have to be alone. You never have to go through the world alone. You don't even have to overcome sin and temptation and all the struggles of life alone because He is always there with you. Okay? You have Him as your advocate. You have Him as your counselor. He will lead you and He'll guide you and He'll strengthen you in all the ways of God. And He is the one that will put you in the right place at the right time if you're connecting and trusting and believing in Him. I ask you this morning to yield to Him. To do that little bit of a relational thing that, you know what, I know you've given a lot to me. You've allowed me to be a rascal at times. You've allowed me to go my own way. You've allowed me to do my own thing. But I really want to give back unto you. I really want to submit and to yield unto you to say, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, however you want me to do it, that's where I want to go, at least for the moment. Let's go. Okay, give Him the moment. Okay, and He'll take that and be able to lead you and to guide you. want to encourage you to give Him place in your relationship. Okay? Let Him do what He was sent to do. Okay? To bond with you in a way that could not be separated. To be a part of your life and to lead you and guide you and take you in the right direction, the way that God wants you to go. Hallelujah. Father God, I praise You this morning. Grateful that, Father, You have given us such a wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that You have imparted into us by faith, Father, and a power that goes beyond our own, an understanding that is perfect and true with You. And Father, that You've given us the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, to lead and guide us into all truth, so that we always should know the right way at the right time, that we should be where we need to be, that we'll serve and yield unto You and allow You to do that work through our life that You choose, that You want to do, Lord. We're yielded vessels. We are vessels yielded unto You to allow You to do a work in and through our life, Lord, completing and fulfilling all that You want to do, Lord. We open ourselves up and we commit to You. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen and amen.